Prelude. Baltimore, Maryland, August 3rd, 1939. My story begins on a sweltering August night, in a place I will never set eyes upon. The room takes life only in my imaginings. It is large most days when I conjure it. The walls are wide and clean, the bed linens crisp as a fallen leaf. The private suite has the very finest of everything. Outside, the breeze is weary, and the cicadas throb in the tall trees, their verdant hiding places just below the window frames. The screens sway inward as the attic fan rattles overhead, pulling at wet air that has no desire to be moved. The scent of pine wafts in, and the woman's screams press out as the nurses hold her fast to the bed. Sweat pools on her skin and rushes down her face and arms and legs. She'd be horrified if she were aware of this. She is pretty, a gentle, fragile soul. Not the sort who would intentionally bring about the catastrophic unraveling that is only, this moment, beginning. In my multifold years of life, I have learned that most people get along as best they can. They don't intend to hurt anyone. It is merely a terrible byproduct of surviving. It isn't her fault. All that comes to pass after that one, final, merciless push. She produces the very last thing she could possibly want. Silent flesh comes forth. A tiny, fair-haired girl, as pretty as a doll, yet blue and still. The woman has no way of knowing her child's fate. Or if she does know, the medications will cause the memory of it to be nothing but a blur by tomorrow. She ceases her thrashing and surrenders to the twilight sleep, lulled by the doses of morphine and scopolamine administered to help her defeat the pain, to help her release everything, and she will. Sympathetic conversation takes place as doctors stitch and nurses clean up what is left. So sad when it happens this way. So out of order when a life has not even one breath in this world. You have to wonder sometimes why, when a child is so very wanted. A veil is lowered. Tiny eyes are shrouded. They will never see. The woman's ears hear but cannot grasp. All slips in and slips away. It is as if she is attempting to catch the tide, and it drains through her clenched fingers, and finally she floats out along with it. A man waits nearby, perhaps in the hallway just outside the door. He is stately, dignified, unaccustomed to being so helpless. He was to become a grandfather today. Glorious anticipation has melted into wrenching anguish. "Sir, I am so terribly sorry," the doctor says as he slips from the room. "Rest assured that everything humanly possible was done to ease your daughter's labor and to save the baby. I understand how very difficult this is. Please offer our condolences to the baby's father when you are finally able to reach him overseas. After so many disappointments, your family must have held such great hope."
"Will she be able to have more?"
"It isn't advisable. This will be the end of her, and her mother as well when she learns of it. Christine is our only child, you know. The pitter-patter of little feet. The beginning of a new generation."
"I understand, sir." "What are the risks, should she?"
"Her life. And it's extremely unlikely that your daughter would ever carry another pregnancy to term.
If she were to try, the results could be...
I see. The doctor lays a comforting hand on the heartbroken man. Or, this is the way it happens in my imaginings. Their gazes tangle. The physician looks over his shoulder, to be certain that the nurses cannot hear.
Sir, might I suggest something?
He says quietly, gravely.
I know of a woman in Memphis.